We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Albert, how you doing, man? What's going on?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
What's up, Albert?
Well, when we're not getting annoyed and pulling out of the garage, we're doing well.
What happened now?
Well, I got into it with somebody because we park in a garage by our building, right?
Oh, you didn't have a Brett McHenry moment, did you?
No. Come on, Albert. I mean, you think I'd be that kind of person? She's an awful human being. No. No, what happened was the guy in front of me took forever to get through and pay. And then he gets through, the gate closes, I put my thing, I'm ready to go. He stops at the edge of the driveway, lets his buddy out of the car after we already waited 5 minutes for him to get out. He's blocking the driveway. His buddy gets out of the car. They're chatting for a minute. I honk him and say, "What are you doing?"
And what did he say?
And the guy gave me the finger.
And then Bull throws his hands up like he's going to do something. He's a fake tough guy, and then nothing happened.
That's right. That was it. I mean, I didn't do anything wrong. Guy was being a jerk.
I thought there'd be some sort of climax to that story. No.
We're gonna brawl.
You just sat in your car waving your arms.
That's it. That was it. I'm too old to fight, Albert. I'm not. If I was 19, I would have gotten out of the car probably. But now 47, I don't need that. I probably would have gotten beat up. I don't know. Not sure. Guy wasn't that big. Maybe it would have been a good fight. Who knows? But I'm too old for that nonsense. That's it. I just got angry about it.
Well, there you go.
That's the end of the story. It's uninspiring.
Any idea what happened to the other guy?
I don't care. I hope his car tire went flat. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if you don't care because you're talking about it on the radio. So
that's true. I do care.
No, I'm not sure that you don't care.
This guy owns some real estate in Bull's Head right now.
Yeah. Rent free.
That's right. Oh, man.
Anywho, we do want to talk some football with you, Albert.
I guess. We could just, you know, talk about Albert.
You want to talk about altercations?
Are you hosting in Boston today? Were you hosting a show?
Yeah, I co-host the show on Sundays. That's right.
No, oh, you weren't on today?
I was on. Oh, yeah. No, I'm sorry. I get my stuff mixed up. I was talking about TV. Yeah, radio. Yes, I was on. I'm on today. I'm on Wednesdays from 11 to 1.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
Are they panicking about Tom Brady?
Not yet. I don't think that it's. And look, I don't think it's about Brady as much as it's about what's around him and how frustrated he is. And, you know, really, like, whether or not some of the things that transpired over the offseason are going to crop up again. Mm. I don't know if you guys saw this, but, Rob Gronkowski's brother went on the radio in Boston and started talking about how there's nothing around Gronk and, you know, how he's being double-teamed because there's no one else to take the pressure off of him. And so, and then you got the throws from Brady downfield. That was one of the things. It was sort of one of the hidden things in the Sunday night game was there was one throw where Brady just tried to throw it to the moon. I don't know if you guys saw that, but you know, Alan Chris in the broadcast played it off like, oh, that was probably probably some sort of communication error or something like that. I'll tell you what, I don't think that was a communication error, and I've seen that before from Brady. When he gets frustrated, sometimes he'll do things like that, and it was just one of those like, okay, you want me to throw. You're not going to give me anyone to throw it to. I'm not going to throw it to anybody. I'm going to put this in the third row. Wow. And so, you know, I don't think there's a question about whether or not Brady can play or Gronk can play anymore. Belichick can coach. It's what's around those guys and whether or not the lack of help that the guys have on offense and the lack of talent they have on defense is going to cause some of the issues that we saw at the end of last year to crop up again.
Albert Burry is with us from the MMQB. Sorry for that awkward silence there. I thought Bull was going to ask a question.
No, like it's, I, guess, I was going to tell more garage stories.
I guess
stories.
It's my turn, so I will continue to ask the questions.
I know Bull was sitting there kind of like...
No, Bull's stewing over there. Still thinking about the parking lot incident. Anyway, Albert, so Baker Mayfield will make his first career start on Sunday. Yeah. The Oakland Raiders get a chance to prepare for Baker as opposed to the Jets who had to deal with him in-game. Jamal Adams was on radio today, the Jets safety, saying it was tough, you know, but they weren't ready for Baker and things like that. What do you expect out of Baker Mayfield in his first start?
I think you know, I think there's still going to be a little bit of a honeymoon period. And we've talked about this. I think there's, you know, that exists for, you know, all young quarterbacks, is that there's going to be a period where there's not a lot of tape on a guy. And, you know, a young quarterback generally has a chance to take advantage of the fact that other teams haven't seen him and his skill set in an NFL setting much, nor have they seen what the team has, you know, scheme-wise to put around him. And so, you know, I think in that way, Hugh and Todd and Baker are ahead of the game for the next few weeks. And so I think he'll play really well the next few weeks. It's, you know, when the second adjustment comes that you get your real answers. You know, and that happened to Carson Wentz 2 years ago. Remember, he played great the first month of the year. Then he really leveled off.
Yeah.
We saw it happen with, you know, we saw it happen with Marcus Mariota a couple of years ago. Even Sam Darnold. You know, Sam Darnold played great the first 2 weeks, played a different player against the Browns on Thursday night. And so, you know, I think Baker and the Browns are still in that little bit of a grace period where, you know, they'll be able to kind of keep defenses on the run, and then we'll find out more about them probably in about a month.
Albert, I'm happy that I'm not one of the suckers, but so many people are. Why do fans often, and media members as well, and beat reporters as well, believe this nonsense about rookie quarterbacks are not going to play? Now, we don't know when Baker, like, if obviously if Tyrod hadn't gotten hurt, Baker wasn't necessarily going to play in this game, but he was going to play soon. This idea, all, you know, in the beginning of the year, the Cardinals, we want to sit our quarterback. The Bills, we want to sit Josh Allen. The Browns, we want to sit Baker Mayfield. They're all going to be starting week four.
Well, I hope you guys don't include me on that group. Because I think
No, certainly not you.
I think I've been telling you all.
Yeah, not you.
I believe the whole redshirt thing when I see it. It categorically doesn't happen unless the team is a contender with an accomplished veteran quarterback. It just does not happen.
That's right.
You know, and so, you know, I think as much as anything else at this point, when most of us know the rookies are going to play, it's about taking pressure off the rookie in the spring and the summer and letting him kind of grow in the background. I think that's the idea most teams have of doing it that way. And then when he's ready, he's ready, you know. And I think the interesting thing about the way it's gone, I would say over the last 7 or 8 years, this goes back to, like, the way Kyle Shanahan and Mike Shanahan coach Robert Griffin in Washington. I think what you're seeing is coaches are more open-minded now to going to things that the quarterbacks did in college and sort of meeting them halfway and doing things to scheme-wise to make them more comfortable, instead of just shoving their system down the player's throat, you know. And so
right.
I think that helps too. Is like the Jets certainly took some stuff from USC and said, like, okay, we're going to do some moving pocket stuff that you did at USC to make you more comfortable. You know, we saw what the Texans did last year and the movement stuff with Deshaun Watson. And you know, I can tell you this for a fact is that the Chiefs and Andy Reid looked at a lot of Texas Tech stuff to do things to make Pat Mahomes more comfortable out there. And so I think a big piece of it is that, you know, like, coaches are more creative and more open-minded to doing different things and making those guys more comfortable. You know, and then I think the other piece of it, too, is, you know, kids are just more ready than they have been in the past. And we see that at the college level, too. I mean, Clemson just went to a true freshman, right, Trevor Lawrence. Georgia played in the national championship game last year with a true freshman quarterback, Jake Fromm. The year before that, Jalen Hurts was starting as a true freshman in the championship game for Alabama. And so, you know, these kids are throwing more at a younger age and getting more experience, and I think are probably more mature when they get to the league, too.
Talking with Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback. Albert, let's go from the Browns to the Buckeyes. A big game this weekend for your alma mater. As they take on Penn State, they
and a really big game in the Fox household.
Huge game.
It's gonna. Yeah. Unfortunately, they won't be able to watch it together because
I'm gonna be in Colorado doing college football, and my brother will be at the game in Happy Valley with about 40 people who have tickets with him, half Buckeyes, half Nittany Lions, and so it's.
I got Penn State winning this by 4 touchdowns.
We're talking smack. I don't know about that, Adam. We're talking smack this week, but I'm nervous. Yeah. You know, no Bosa this week, and that whiteout experience is something that is one of the best in college football in terms of atmospheres and home field advantages.
Yeah, and you know, I think you never know what's going to happen in that environment. We saw it 2 years ago. That was a pretty young Ohio State team. Remember, you know, that was coming off the 2016 draft year when they lost, you know, Bosa and Elliott and Decker and Apple and all of those guys. And that team looked awesome early in the year. And they went into that environment, and, you know, late in the game, it's still close. And I think it probably got to that team a little bit, you know. And so that's the thing that's a little unpredictable about it. But, I mean, I don't know how much you've gotten to watch them, Dustin, you either. But, like they look as athletic, as long, as big, like, as they've ever looked. And they've got a quarterback, unlike I've seen. And I was in school in Ohio State 20 years ago. I haven't seen a quarterback like this at Ohio State. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that translates now on the road against an elite opponent that has, I don't think the talent's quite as good at Penn State as it is at Ohio State right now, but at least has the horses to keep up with you. It's going to be really, really interesting. I think that, I think Ohio State's a better team going in, but that doesn't mean you're going to win. We know how these things can go in 19 from the road in college football.
Albert, Tyrod Taylor is now benched. We suggested yesterday that the Browns should try to trade him. Some people are saying, no, the Browns might be a playoff team. Let's hold him as a backup. They got a veteran in Drew Stanton, not as good as Tyrod Taylor, but at least he's a veteran. Do you think the Browns are interested in trading him? Do you think they could get even a fifth-round pick?
As of right now, I don't think so. And if I were them, I would just, I can understand why you wouldn't be. Here's why. If you can get a fourth or a fifth-round pick, great. The money comes off your books. That's fine. I understand why you want to do that. But if having Tyrod around is what's best for Baker, like if that benefits Baker, having that second set of eyes there, having that guy in the meeting room, and that was a big part of why they built the quarterback room the way that they did, and bringing in Tyrod and bringing in Drew Stanton was, and this was before they take Baker with the number one overall pick, the idea was, we're going to create a really good environment for young quarterbacks to come into. I'll just tell you this. It's so important to get that right, and it's so important to have Baker in the right place going forward the next 3 months, that if there is any risk at all at upsetting Baker's development or doing something that may not be best for Baker, that's one thing if you're going to get a premium draft pick for Tyrod Taylor. I don't think that's happening. I personally think the idea of investing in Baker's development by hanging on to Tyrod Taylor, if that's what you determine is best for Baker Mayfield, is absolutely positively worth more than a mid-round pick.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's a good point.
I just think, we talk about these guys like they're like, properties in Monopoly sometimes, and it just doesn't work that way. And I think Baker would tell you that Tyrod's been great for him, and you could see it and you could feel it when you were there in the summer, and I'm sure you guys did too. That quarterback room was a really, really healthy place. And you get the sense, that was a good place for Baker Mayfield to sort of grow up as a quarterback in. And so if Tyrod can be a really good resource to Baker Mayfield over the next 3 months, isn't that worth a fourth or would you be getting back maybe a fourth or a fifth-round pick? Wouldn't it be worth it to say, no, we don't need that fifth-round pick. We're going to do what's best for our young quarterback. I think it makes sense to hang on to him. If you feel like that's what's best for Baker.
Albert, last thing real quick. Ryan Fitzpatrick looks like he's going to start this week for the Bucs. They have a bye. Who's their starting quarterback week six?
Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I actually don't think this is a situation for the Bucs. A lot of people looked at that and said, it's kind of awkward that you'd be benching the number one overall pick and so many people's jobs are on the line there. No, that's true. I just think, if you're Dirk Cutter and Jason Light, this is almost playing out perfectly for you. And here's what I mean. There's three outcomes that are possible here, okay? One, Ryan Fitzpatrick keeps playing this way. You ride the wave through the playoffs, you're not getting fired, right? Two, this motivates Jameis Winston. This turns Jameis Winston into a different player in the building. Fitz falters somewhere along the line, and then you get the best of Jameis Winston for the rest of the year. And then three, both guys fail, right? And if both guys fail, you're probably not keeping your job anyway because you got the number one overall pick wrong 4 years ago. And so the way I look at it is this gives them a chance to ride the hot veteran. This gives them a chance to see what Jameis Winston is made of. And if one of the two isn't sustainable, then I think it's tough for you to make an argument that you deserve to keep your job anyway. So if I'm them, I just, I keep this in place. And I hope it it lights a fire under Jameis. But either way, I think this helps to get a final answer on who Jameis Winston is as an NFL quarterback ahead of a big decision he's going to have to make on his future after this season.
Albert, good stuff, man. Thanks as always for joining us.
All right, thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.